Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Tuesday is Golden Oldie Day here at Offbeat Oregon, which means I'll be reading from one of the very first Offbeat Oregon columns I wrote back in 2009. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. This is a story that asks about the origins of the Tillamook Burn, the most mysterious of the Tillamook burns, the one that broke out during World War II. The question, the persistent, unanswered, interesting question, is if it was actually started by the Japanese. Here's the story, which, by the way, first published on July 15th of 2009. From where we sit today, this sounds like the craziest, most desperate play imaginable. Japan, locked in a battle with the U.S. on various Pacific islands, floats bombs and balloons over the Pacific Ocean in an attempt to light the forests of Oregon and Washington on fire. You likely are familiar with at least the basics of this story. Phosphorus bombs were attached to giant balloons made of waxed rice paper. One source suggests they were made using mulberry paper, but they were definitely paper. And they were launched on the prevailing winds which blow across Japan and onto American shores. As you may also have heard, this program claimed the only American lives lost as casualties of war in the mainland U.S. during the World War II when a church picnic party found an unexploded bomb in the woods in 1945. It exploded, killing all but one. What isn't generally known is how sophisticated those balloons were. A balloon operates by maintaining a perfect balance between weight and lift. Too much weight, no flight. Too much lift, and you're in orbit. So the balloons had sensors on board to monitor altitude. If the balloon got too low, weight would be dropped to get them back up off the sea again. There was also a clock aboard. At a certain amount of elapsed time, the machine aboard would pop the balloon and drop the bomb. As you can imagine, such a level of complexity dropped the success rate quite a ways. In fact, well below 1%, according to records that we have. Thousands of balloons were launched at great expense, roughly $200 million, to score a few dozen strikes on a howling wilderness. How could that possibly make sense? Two words, Tillamook burns. Remember, this program was launched in 1944. 11 years earlier, in 1933, the first and most devastating wildfire broke out in the early afternoon of August 14th in the Tillamook Forest, when a logging outfit in Washington County tried to snake just a few more logs out of an operation on Giles Creek. It was dragline logging, of course. The friction of one of the logs getting winched to the log landing heated some forest duff until it burst into flames, and by the time the autumn rains had come, 12.5 billion board feet of top-shelf old-growth timber was gone. 6 years later, in 1939, it happened again. Started in almost exactly the same place by the same cause. Slow learners, I guess. People started talking of a 6-year jinx. The 6th year after that would be 1945. And in fact, the forest did catch fire again on July 10th, 1945. And again, actually, in July of 1951, and yes, that is every 6 years. But the 1945 burn is particularly interesting. More than 200,000 acres of the old burn and 30,000 acres of green forest went up in smoke in 1945. It might have been put out faster, but America was still at war with Japan at the time, so there wasn't as much manpower available as there had been for earlier fires. By July of 1945, the balloon bomb program had been halted for a couple months already. Hard as it is to believe, the Japanese started the program just as the rainy season commenced in the Pacific Northwest forests, and sent thousands of would-be fire starters across the Pacific Ocean all winter long, at a time of year when you couldn't start a forest fire if you had 1,000 gallons of kerosene to try to do it with. Then they gave up on the program just as the sun started coming out and drying up the forest. It's probably safe to assume that if the Japanese had started this program in April and continued it through October rather than the other way around, history would have been a little different and the balloon bomb program wouldn't have been such a near total failure. But was it really a failure? In marked contrast to the 1933 and 1939 burns, this blaze broke out very early in the fire season, early July, and information about the source of this burn is hard to come by for some reason. What is known is simply that it was near the Salmonberry River, a tributary of the Nehalem, in a spot that's virtually inaccessible except by air. Could it be that the Japanese balloon program actually did light the forest on fire, 2 months after the Japanese had given up on the plan as a failure? We'll probably never really know, but it's an interesting possibility. And it's actually one of the few explanations of the fire's origins that makes logical sense. That's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I do hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, an active Facebook page, a handy Twitter feed, and lots of other resources which you can explore by mousing over the row of little square badges that you'll find at the top of our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com. Visuals that go with today's show can be found at offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Our next show will be coming your way around 6 a.m. Wednesday morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.